Do you eat, sleep, and breathe golf? Do you love to explore? And most importantly, do you just want to have some fun? Well, then welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren. Now here's the guy with all the questions, Mitch Lawrence, and the guy with all the answers, Darren Bunch.
Hello and welcome to Talking Golf Getaways, although Darren and I want to call it Fun with Mitch and Darren in an attempt to pick up your spirits during what is incredibly a twilight zone time for all of us. We're glad you're with us. This is Darren and I have been looking forward to this. We've been away from it for a little while because, you know, and we're so happy to be back together. Darren out in California and me here in Myrtle Beach, and just being able to do this again in some sense of what for Darren and I is normalcy, if you can ever use that word for either of us. But hopefully it'll make your day pass a little quicker and a little more enjoyably. You can find us at Golf Trip Experts on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Darren, you can find at Golf Getaways on Twitter and Instagram, and me at Mitch Lawrence, LauranceE, wherever you find me in the online universe.
Hey, speaking of your name,
yeah.
I feel like there's something we need to talk about right off the top that you mentioned on Twitter the other day. I think it was on Twitter. You were once upon a time Carrie Fisher's assistant.
You had to go there?
Yes, that
amidst
fascinated
all this
me.
Nuts stuff that's going on. You are a sick mother. God, I've missed you, Darren. yes, I was indeed an assistant to the assistant at one point to Carrie Fisher. This is a very quick story because I don't know how many people want to hear this, but I had been friends with Carrie. I had been friendly with her since I lived in New York. I was working on Saturday Night Live, and I got to be friendly with Carrie Fisher and Penny Marshall and a bunch of people. And when I moved to L.A. in 1980, I stayed friendly with Carrie and Penny. And as the years went by, and I'm not sure exactly what year it was, but it was probably, I would think, 82, 83, 84. I'd have to look it up. But Carrie was doing a movie called Over the Rainbow, which was a movie about the making of The Wizard of Oz. Hmm. And she needed an assistant. She needed somebody to really help out while she was shooting the movie. And I wasn't doing anything. I'd been working as a waiter at night, taking acting classes. And she said, do you want to just help me? I said, sure. So that's what I did. I spent a couple months being Carrie's assistant. I could talk for hours about all that, but that's what it was, Dee.
I feel like that should be the number one thing on your resume. Above Singenor, above Talking Golf Getaways, above Saturday Night Live, just former Carrie Fisher's assistant should be on your business card.
All right, well, I'll change it because I'm sure people are going to be interested.
All right, sorry for that that interlude there. That was just something that obviously...
Well, see, I've made your day better already.
Oh, it was. I was blown away that we had never ever talked about that. I knew you knew Carrie Fisher, but I did not know you had actually worked for her.
Yes. And as I said, there are deep, deep, deep stories, which I will never go into, not even with you. Well, that's not true. Next time I see you, which hopefully you'll be soon.
Just depends on how much scotch we drink. And speaking of that's, scotch.
Yes.
I have a little something today in a nod to your homeland. Well, really mm-hmm. not your homeland, but the great Ava's homeland. Yeah. As I think I had mentioned on the podcast previously, my wife got me an advent calendar, a whiskey advent calendar this year for Christmas.
Yep.
I did not drink it every day like the traditional advent calendar would be used. I am now going through the various bottles that came with it. And the one for I chose for the podcast today is Macmyra, M-A-C-K-M-Y-R-A, mm-hmm. which is a Swedish single malt whiskey.
Macmyra. Yep.
Macmyra.
Macmyra. I have actually had Macmyra over in Sweden.
Well, that's...
Which is the usual place people drink it.
That is what, that's what I'm drinking today. And cheers to our coronavirus edition of the podcast.
There you go. And I guarantee you, I don't think I could ever say this with full certainty, but I can today. I will bet you whatever you want that you are the only person in the United States right now drinking Macmyra.
That is probably true.
At this moment.
And you're the only person in the States who can actually pronounce it.
Well, yeah. That's not that tough. There's many more tough Swedish words. Makmira is not one of them. But anyway, cheers, my friend. Let's delve into this. Just a couple of things to talk about during this, as I said, incredibly strange time. And it's impacted people, obviously, in some very, very serious ways, and will continue to do so. We don't want to minimize any of that. We're just going to share some things, and hopefully we'll get through this together. I know we'll all be back on the course traveling around at some point soon. But
I was going to say, I think the point of this is, you know, when you and I started talking about it, you know, usually we're diving really deep into golf travel destinations and whatnot, but we really wanted to kind of shine a light on not only some of the great things that people are doing, but also, you know, some of the things that have happened to us because of this. We can commiserate with some people. We'll talk about trips that we've had to cancel and plans we've had to change. And we'll dive into, you know, whether you should be playing golf at all during these times. And I have a little inside knowledge as to what some of the courses who are trying to make these decisions of either whether to stay open or not, you know, what goes into that. So I think we'll have a lot of fun on this podcast, but at the same time, try to be informative to people and maybe hit some things that people don't know about or haven't thought about.
We're calling this the sad face emoji special edition of coronavirus and talking golf getaways. So we'll try to turn that into a smile by the end of the podcast. Let's start off. You and I had been throwing around an idea, and we're going to do this. We're going to, at some point, not right now, but we're going to start by having a modified coronavirus edition. And the first segment is going to be talking about what's the best place we've been, seen, or talked about this week. And so it is indeed very special, Darren. We're going to start off with a company that you and I are totally familiar with, and I'm sure our listeners will be also. But let's talk a little bit about what Seamus Golf and Akbar and Megan and the people at Seamus Golf are doing during this time.
Yeah, I was blown away by this, that Seamus is basically shutting down production for the most part and moving to making masks. They're trying to get the N95 material right now, but even without that, they're going ahead, they're moving forward, they're making masks, they're making the kits free. You know, they said it right on their website and everywhere they've talked about it, that, you know, this is something they want to do to give back to the many healthcare professionals out there who are trying to help people. And Seamus had actually gone so far as to close down their online store temporarily. They are back up and running with that now, and everything is looking good. They have a buy a mask, give a mask promotion going on. You can buy a package of masks, and they will give one to, I believe it's a healthcare provider. And so it's really just an amazing initiative that the team there, Akbar and the team, have worked on. It's yet another reason that we love Seamus. It's not yet another reason that you should be supporting Seamus, you know, long after this whole thing is over.
Well, I think that's a lesson that a lot of us are learning, I think, during this time, is the way people react to this says everything about who they are. Some people we're going to let go. Some people we're going to hold on to for dear life and continue to support them and support them even more. Because what the people at Seamus have done, and I'm with you, when I saw that, when that came up on my Twitter feed, I think is the first place I saw it, I just went, I was actually not surprised. I was really happy to see it, but it didn't surprise me, given who they are.
Right, exactly. I play a Seamus golf bag, Fescue Project bag, and so I'm on their email list, and I saw that come across. You know, that it's a tremendous sacrifice, and I think it's just something that needs to be applauded. And you know, we found a lot of people like that across the spectrum of golf who are really diving in, doing things that maybe they wouldn't normally do to try to make everybody's life a little bit better during this entire process.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because when you say that, what interests me is you talk about Seamus and all the great products that they make and will make again. And then all of a sudden, masks. Obviously, quite a distinction between that. Here's another one that I saw the other day. And you and I have a lot of friends in Canada. we've traveled a bunch up there. We know a lot of people. Arguably, well, one of our favorite countries and so many great places. But the one that made me laugh yesterday morning, I think I saw it, was, here's how we deal with the coronavirus in Canada. And it was about Labatt. You know, the beer, Canadian beer, probably the most, well, easily one of the few most famous Canadian beers. And Labatt's is changing their whole procedure and their factories, and they're going ahead and making masks and different things for the health professionals.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I saw it, I just thought, this is perfect. This is, here we are, you know, a beer company, a huge beer company, saying, okay, we're getting into this too. Now, you have somebody else that we both know, a great guy who's also doing this.
Yeah, our friends at Journeyman Distillery, which we know very well. They were one of the sponsors of our event at Sweetens Cove over the summer. Mm-hmm. You know, Bill Welter, who owns that company, they dove into hand sanitizer. Alcohol is a key ingredient to hand sanitizer, and it's in short supply right now. And they realized, you know, we can start making hand sanitizer. And so they're shipping it. They're holding events at the Journeyman Distillery and just generally trying to help out in as many ways as they possibly can and keep the business rolling through these challenging times. So I had a chance to catch up with Bill for a few minutes, and we're going to roll that interview for you right now. Really, I wanted to start off with, you know, how does this idea come about? I mean, I know there were people out there who were doing this type of thing, but, you know, what gave you the idea and really, you know, got your feet running on how to put this into plan?
I was recently in Australia, and I was corresponding back with our production manager, Tom Balich, and I had read an article that someone was making hand sanitizer for the kind of first responders / healthcare industry because there was a shortage of it. And I said to Tom, I said, why don't you guys play around and see if you can make a first batch of this and just see how it turns out. And at the time, though, I mean, the FDA had not changed their stance on hand sanitizer being made from a consumable ethanol. And so technically it was illegal, but at least illegal to sell it. So I guess in some ways we were hand sanitizing moonshiners.
Nice.
In the short run, at least. But I guess that paid off in the sense that we were somewhat of an early adopter in that we had product available quite quickly through those kind of experiments.
Tell me a little bit. I mean, I think probably a lot of people don't realize it. I mean, you're obviously a whiskey company. You deal in alcohol. A lot of people, alcohol hand sanitizer has been kind of a buzzword, but I would guess that most people don't understand how you're able to make that switch from, like you said, a consumable to a product like this.
The key ingredient for hand sanitizer is ethanol, and that's obviously what we specialize in making as a consumable product through, as you mentioned, whiskey and other spirits. But essentially, what you know, some of your big hand sanitizer producers, such as Purell, would do is they make it from denatured alcohol, which is essentially just taking the same ethanol that we're making, but applying chemicals to it to make it denatured, or essentially a product that can't be consumed because it's because the taste of it is so horrible. There's a bittering agent that's used in denatured alcohol. But of course, we're making consumable ethanol, so that's where we kind of took a proactive step of creating a label that basically is a poison warning. So, like, you know, if you remember the old as a kid, I remember being just terrified. You know, if I saw the skull and bones, where you're like, you know, effectively, we just wanted to create a label that warned people that this is not a Journeyman Distillery, a spirit, if you will, a gin or a vodka, but this is actually non-consumable. So there's an actual warning sign on the front of our hand sanitizer.
Nice. I love that skull and crossbones. It's
yeah,
the first time I saw it. So now you've done this a couple of weekends here where you've done events at the distillery. Tell me a little bit about how those have gone.
Yeah. Well, so just as I'm sure everyone knows, but the state of Michigan has mandated the closure of all food and beverage, restaurants and bars through the end of April. And so in an effort, and of course, unfortunately, we've had to lay off virtually all of our restaurant employees. So in an effort to raise some money for those people, the last two Saturdays, we've done fundraisers where 40% of the sale of our products have gone. And that would be our products, meaning retail and bottles of spirits like whiskey and gin and vodka. 40% of the sale of those products have gone towards our employees that were laid off. But also at the same time, we've given away over 400 bottles of hand sanitizer on each Saturday, so a total of over 800. And then we've had some larger format bottles of hand sanitizer, a 1.75 liter bottle for sale as well. So that's brought a lot of interest, and we're really thankful for the people that came out, our customers, to help support our staff members that are currently temporarily laid off.
And so, I mean, you talk about the events, and people can come in, they can still buy your whiskey and your spirits and get the bottle of hand sanitizer. People can also order,
yeah,
at least locally right now, where they can come pick it up. Is there, I know that you're working on this, but tell me a little bit about the idea of possibly being able to ship to customers at some point.
Yeah, actually, we've got the shipping up and running now through our website. The products are now available online, and we've just had an incredible outpouring of just support from people that are just grateful that effectively we've turned our whiskey production facility into a facility that now makes hand sanitizer. So we're sacrificing on the whiskey side here at the time being, but we see a greater need for this, and I think we get a lot of warm fuzzy feelings when we sell our whiskey, but I guess we're having a little bit more warm and fuzzy feeling being able to help a lot of people in need right now.
Well, and you will even create bulk products where I think I saw, you'll sell 55 gallon drums of this to, I'm assuming that is to hospitals and places like that, or
yeah.
I don't know if you're shipping those, you're putting them on a truck and shipping them to other places at this point.
Yeah, we've sent out a few of those on truck. There's just everyone, whether it's first responders, whether it's the, local nursing homes, hospitals, healthcare, but also there's a lot of people who are working essential jobs right now, and those companies want to protect the people that are still out in the field and doing some of those essential services. So we've been assisting a lot of the utility companies that are still working, and just local area businesses that are still in operation.
That is awesome. So now you and I have traveled together a number of times. I've been up there to the distillery. We've played golf in Michigan. We first met on a trip that we've talked about on the podcast before in Australia. Now you mentioned that you were in Australia kind of when all this started to happen. Just tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So we left for Australia. My daughter and I, Isla is her name, and we left March 3rd, and we got back on the 15th. And when we left on the 3rd to go to one of my best friend's weddings in Tasmania, Greg Ramsey, who you know obviously well, the world just did a 180 from the time we left on the 3rd to returning on the 15th, and it was a great trip, and it was great to see Greg and a lot of people that I'd met in Australia in the past, but obviously, it was a little bit stressful seeing things develop and just the concerns of the coronavirus, but just, you know, kind of what the impact might be on travel. And obviously I made it back on the 15th really without any trouble. And it was shortly after that that I think things kind of really, really started to go sideways. So,
wow, that is amazing. And how crazy the world is. So it really has been an amazing, amazing thing. Let me ask you a somewhat fun question, I guess, or as part of this. You have a great putting green there at the distillery. I've talked about it on the podcast. It's called Welter's Folly. Are you the only one out there putting on it these days?
We actually mowed it and rolled it yesterday, so it's in really good shape, believe it or not. There's no one to use it, but it looks great. You know, there's just something special about looking out on a well manicured green or golf course. You know, it just looks so good. I just hope we can get to a point here, and I know we all wish this. That we can get to a point here where we're all back out playing golf again, and we're all back out and going to restaurants and enjoying life again. So the green, I guess it's going to get an opportunity here to heal up a little bit in April, but it should be in great, great shape here for the summer. And I hope, like I said, that we can all get out and be able to enjoy it.
I hope so too. Tell people a little bit, remind us of the website. And again, if people are ordering online to order hand sanitizer, they can still order all the great products that you had as well, right?
Yeah. So, technically, people can order any retail items. It's really state by state when it comes to alcohol. Currently the sanitizer is available in all 50 states. We can ship that, and that can be found at journeymandistillery.com/sanitizer. And obviously if people check out that site and have any questions, they can certainly reach out to us direct as well.
That is great. Bill, I can't thank you enough. I was so impressed when I heard about this whole initiative, and obviously Mitch and I and everybody are huge fans of Journeyman, and we had you as a sponsor for our Sweetens Cove event last year, and it's just, I'm amazed at what you've done here, and as I keep following it, and I wish you guys all the success.
Yeah, we'll have to have you back out this summer, Darren, and play some golf and get back out on the putting green, and we can't thank you guys enough for what you're doing, and yeah, it's just a time to really think back and be grateful for what we do have, and be hopeful that we'll all be back on the links here sooner than later.
Well, that was fantastic, Darren. And of course, you and I know Bill to be a great guy, and obviously this proves it as well. So if you're listening, go out there, get some Journeyman, keep supporting Bill and the great work he's doing. We wish him all the luck with the hand sanitizer business, which he will be in for just a little while, hopefully. All right, let's move on to somebody else that's really somebody I wanted to give a shout out to. And if you have Instagram, there's somebody on there that if you're not following, you should be. On Instagram, we know her as Smooderoo, Smooderoo, Smooderoo. She is Dr. Sarah. She lives in Vancouver. The follow on Instagram is one of the best you'll find. I was blown away the first time I really started following Sarah on Instagram. I just found myself laughing all the time. This is somebody who absolutely loves the game, loves her friends, lives in a part of the country that is spectacular out in Vancouver, gets to play the great, great Pacific Northwest courses, and absolutely just makes you laugh. She's creative. She's fun. She's funny. Her friends are funny. And anytime I see anything from Smoods come up on Instagram, I'm there. And it just makes me smile. So what I realized as I was following along is in one fell swoop, her posts went from fun on the golf course to incredibly serious, because she is actually a frontline ER doctor in Vancouver and a surgical assistant. And the post was The only way I can put it is it literally stopped me in my tracks because of how 180 degrees it was from what I knew Smoot-a-Roo to be. And so doing a little more research, and I kind of got in touch with Sarah through Instagram, and we had a communication going about the work she's doing and the absolute seriousness with which we should all be treating this disease. And I think that's what I wanted to get across by mentioning her. If you go to Instagram, follow her. Again, it's at Smoot-a-Roo. She has a great podcast that I just listened to. There's a podcast, the For Jack podcast is the name of the podcast. And they're up in Canada and they had Sarah on and they really went into a pretty deep dive about what they're facing, what she's facing in an ER, what the hospital's facing, and why we should be taking this seriously. And if you want a full dose of that, I really suggest you listen to it. And she's fantastic. So give her a listen and a big shout out to her and to all the health professionals and the nurses and the ER staff and the janitors. And Darren, I think one thing we have all learned from this, hopefully, is that people we may not have really given props to before, in the future, there's a whole bunch of them we are going to be grateful to forever.
No, there's no doubt about it. If people who run the grocery stores, the people who, you know, not run the grocery stores, but are making the grocery stores still work, you know, like you said, janitors, people who are cleaning every place that we go. And not that we're going to a lot of places these days, if everybody's doing this right, but you know, it's just, it's amazing. It's funny you mentioned Sarah, one of my favorite followers as well. She's just always seems to be having fun. And I guess from your conversations with her, right, she kind of had the same story that I did in terms of things that she had to kind of put on hold in the meantime. She was supposed to be at Bandon and then go to the Masters, wasn't she?
Yeah, when she did the podcast with the guys, I think it was early in the week, not this past week, but last week or whenever people are hearing this. And 4 or 5 days later, she was on her way to Bandon to play in a great event. Then she was going someplace else, and then she was going to the Masters for the first time.
Yep.
Sound familiar?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. But she followed that up right away with, okay, don't feel sorry for me.
Right.
And she said, and I was reading one other post that she had, and it said, and this is, if you just see certain of her posts, you think, okay, here's somebody that just has total fun on the golf course. And if you pick through it, you will find out that this is somebody who obviously is smart, but obviously thinks and feels deeply, because she said one of the big things, she's in the hospital she's working in, she actually had time off because they've canceled all elective surgery,
right,
in preparation for the surge that they know is coming. And it's already started. So she had some days off and she went out to play golf, you know, obviously doing the social distancing thing. And the post was about how she used to go out and play and get really upset if she didn't shoot a good number, because she's a really good golfer. And she was thinking about this as she's playing and talking about how this whole thing, again, has, we should all know this anyway, but how this has turned around her thinking about really literally being on the golf course and what it is for and what it brings us and what it gives us. And so I saw that one and I thought, man, there's so many people in this boat that can now not get out, can't play golf, and other things in their life too. This isn't just about golf. But things we're grateful for. There's a heading with things we're grateful for, and it is growing day by day. So shout out to Smoots. And hopefully she'll be back out on the course too after all this passes.
Yep. And we've got a lot of people who have made suggestions too. I know you put this out on Twitter, but you've also been watching and listening to people. What are some of the other things that people have thrown out ideas of what we should be doing, how ways that we could be helping? But, you know, before we get into the specific golf portion of talking about how this has all affected the golf industry.
Well, there's a couple more that I had. One was Dottie Pepper, who's happens to be a good friend of mine, but also somebody that people should be following, obviously, if they like golf and the pro tour, and somebody who does commentary and who's a great champion. But Dottie is one of the great people on the planet. She's down to earth. She's serves her community in so many different ways. And she put something up the other day that really struck me, because I think all of us are looking for ways that we can help. Part of what's tough about this is there's a certain part, a certain powerlessness to what's going on for a lot of us. You know, what can we do? What can we do? Dottie had a great suggestion, which is not just to go buy some takeout from a restaurant, which is great. That'll help. But her idea was to literally buy gift cards.
Yep.
So that not only could you go pick up a meal or two, but that you could make a commitment to that particular local business that you'll be there and you can use the gift cards once this passes and we can all get back to that. The immediate money will be used to help them stay afloat while this goes on.
Yep, great idea.
I thought it was a great idea. And then there's another one. And obviously, you and I know Shane Bacon really well. And Shane's had a number of great things along the way. His, you know, hole-in-one deal where people contribute and he puts the money in a jar.
Right.
And when he gets his first hole-in-one, the money's going to go to a junior golf program. But he and Max Homa, and again, people I'm sure know about this, but he and Max Homa have a great thing going, and they've really started to ramp up this whole thing. They're having watch parties now where they watch live, and you can kind of get in with them. It's a way of connecting with people. But I saw that Shane and Max were doing something, and again, I just thought this was a great idea. There's local food banks, and you know about this. Our friend Vic Williams, our great dear friend Vic Williams and his family have been a part of food banks in Reno. Food banks are really important now. There's so many people who do not have access to food for themselves, for their children. So what Max and Shane are doing is if you make a donation to a local food bank and you DM the receipt to them for the donation, and I'll tell you how to do that, they're going to donate. They're going to send you some cool merchandise.
Right.
And I thought this was really funny. I mean, they'll, for a certain amount, they'll mention you. For $125, they'll write a poem about you. And for $2,500, Max Homa will shave his arms. I mean, I literally laughed out loud. I thought, okay, these guys get it. Anyway,
it's kind of funny. It's kind of funny you talk about mentioning Shane and mm-hmm. the podcast that the two of them do. The Get a Grip podcast is fantastic and one of my favorite listens right now. Obviously, we do a lot of work in the golf business, so I'm not listening to all the podcasts out there, especially because we make one as well. But I do right. listen to every episode of that one. Ironically, Shane and I were just together, really like almost the week before all hell broke loose in the coronavirus world. You know, so it's kind of just a strange bit of timing
yeah.
that, you know, and they spent a lot of time on the podcast talking about his 490 something yard drive that I witnessed him witnessed him hitting at Rams Hill, which was just unbelievable. But anyway, that said, tell them how they can... how they should send the DMs to those guys, because that is just a wonderful program and a wonderful way to try to motivate people to donate to food banks.
Yeah. If you go to the account for the podcast, which is at Get a Grip Pod on Instagram, you can find out how to make a donation. And like I said, they're giving away hats and all kinds of fun stuff. And they've already raised a pretty substantial amount with people doing it. So shout out to Shane and Max for doing their part.
Yep, definitely. So that brings us to segment two, I guess we will call it.
How very creative.
Should we be playing golf or not? And, you know, I think it's interesting. I think we all agree, most people I talk to, and certainly you and I do, that golf courses are probably as safe of an activity, outdoor activity, as you can do in these times, as long as you understand the various things that are being done, as long as you're social distancing, as long, you know, because it's a game that can be relatively solitary. It's outside. Mm-hmm. It doesn't require you to bunch up in groups. And I've been fascinated by the creativity with which many, many golf courses that are trying to stay open have treated this subject, going to online payment, prepayments, making sure that the interaction that you have with anyone between your car and the first tee is minimal, places leaving the flags in, people cutting shallow cups so you're not all having to reach in deep into the cup for your golf ball. There's just a there's a lot of things that courses are doing to try to stay open. And I've been fascinated by that as I've watched the progression of this along the way. How about you?
Well, here's an interesting thing. There was another one before I forget it that I read today, which I hadn't thought about. Not using broken tees on par threes that other people have used.
Yeah, good point.
I never thought about that. And I thought, okay, cool. If we're doing this, let's do it. Here's the reason this is interesting. As we record this podcast, you and I, I'm scheduled to play golf tomorrow for the first time since all this started.
Although you got out, right when it all began. You know, you got out and went to True Blue, didn't you? And played,
yes,
but it wasn't, we weren't in it the way, like we weren't in the stay at home, quote unquote, phase that we're in now, but people were already starting to worry and you got out and played golf at that time.
Yeah, that was at the very beginning. And nobody had been locked down. They had limited it to, I think in South Carolina, it was 10 people, which has now changed to 3. And personally, I'm hoping they lock the whole state down. That's just how I feel.
Right.
But at the time, I think it was 3 people. And yeah, so got out, was able to do that and, you know, enjoyed it. And Ava, my wife and I are supposed to play tomorrow. We have a friend who's in town and the 3 of us just decided, okay, we're going to give it a go. And the courses in Myrtle Beach, I don't know what's going on out there, but some of them are closed. We tried one place and they said we shut down this past week to keep our staff safe.
Mm-hmm.
There's a number of courses that are still open and doing what you said. They're practicing all the social distancing, all the recommendations. People are bringing for the first time, although they do have certain items that you can get at the snack bar from outside. You can't go in. But they're also okay if you happen to bring stuff from home,
sure,
which is pretty unusual. But they get it. And the one course, Shaftesbury, which is actually even my kind of home course, they're packed. They are packed. I called to see about getting a time tomorrow. They were double teeing it all morning, and they didn't have an open tee time till 2:20.
And are they only allowing either family groups or twosomes or, you know, that type of thing? Are they putting limits on groups? Because I know that's one of the questions that I've seen is, hey, I want to go play as a single. I don't want to be paired up with a threesome, nor does that threesome want to be paired up with me.
Yeah. And I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah.
I will find out tomorrow. I know that obviously Ava and I are fine. Mark will be riding in a separate cart. And we all, you know, we all know what we're doing. So tomorrow, hopefully that'll be fine. But what I wanted to talk about was, and there have been so many pieces written about this, as you said, it's a fascinating topic. One of my favorites, Jay Revelle, who's a friend of ours, you can find him at Jay Revelle on Twitter, jrevelle.com. He wrote a great piece about this.
I still do not know
if
his name is Revelle or Revel.
Jay Revelle.
We need to have him on the podcast. He can settle that for
once. The fact that we haven't, I mean, he's a superstar now. So
yes.
Hopefully he'll deign to be on the podcast now. But anyway, he wrote a great piece. He was in Pensacola with his wife, and I think either a daughter or two daughters. And what had started as he was going to leave them there for some family stuff and go home, and they were going to follow a couple days later, and that's when everything shut down. So he had an entire week by himself at home without his family, and a lot of his business stuff was shut down. And so he decided to spend time playing golf, and he played 7 days in a row. But he uses it, and you and I know that Jay is an incredibly thoughtful, wonderful writer. He does some great video stuff too. But the whole thing was about this question. First, do I go, do I not? Then he decided to, and then what the game gave him during those 7 days.
Sure.
And it's a fascinating read. It's really wonderful. I think tomorrow, when we go out and play, we'll be appreciating it more. We'll do everything we can to not get near each other than me and my wife. That's not an issue. But we'll see. And I know I'll be talking to you after I do, but It's an ongoing question, because here's something that happened yesterday in Myrtle Beach, and this really, really, really made my blood boil. I hate to bring up a downer, but think about this. A Spirit airplane full of golfers flew into Myrtle Beach last night. 150, I think they said.
Right.
Full plane from New York.
Yeah.
And when I saw that this morning, because they haven't shut the state down.
Yep.
They have not said, okay, everybody just do this for 2 weeks or 3 weeks and we'll get through it. So you've got all these people who are trying to get out of New York because of what's going on and come down here. And those people, even though the governor recommends they, if they're, this is what he said, if they're staying more than 2 days, self-quarantine.
Yeah.
And I said to Ava, okay, so for 2 days, they're free to roam the landscape, but then self-quarantine. Anyway, I don't want this soapbox, but to me, we're either, New York is the epicenter right now. And yet a full plane of people just landed in Myrtle Beach last night.
Yep.
So some of us are taking this seriously, and I guess some not.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to talk about. Obviously, I have a little bit of insight into this because...
Yeah, talk about Rams Hill, because that I'm so interested.
Obviously, I have this perspective from Rams Hill. I'm part of the team there, and I was privy to their conversations. And I don't want to get too deep into, the inside baseball of it all, but I think it's important to know as golfers, because I get a sense out there that golfers are frustrated, golf courses are closing. It's not an easy decision, and it's an ongoing decision. It's this thing that every day, especially for the last 2 weeks, it's almost every day there's been new information that informs your decision. Rams Hill eventually closed. They closed on Sunday. Primarily because the other county run courses in San Diego County closed as well. And, there are people out there, even when they were staying open, there are people who aren't in favor of the golf courses being open. For Rams Hill specifically, one of the reasons they tried to stay open as long as they did, besides the fact that they just wanted to make sure that they could keep taking care of their employees as best as they could, but they also financially, that is, they were also one of the only places that you could get food in the little town of Borrego Springs. And so their right. restaurant was crucial to, the ecosystem there in Borrego Springs. They were doing takeout and delivery for the Rams Hill community. So, I just want people out there to know that no golf course is taking this lightly. And the ones that are staying open understand the sacrifices that they're making and the risks they're taking to stay open. And the ones that had to close, didn't do it overnight. They thought about it and wrestled with it. And it is not an easy thing, whether you're paying your people not to come in or you're laying them off temporarily or you're furloughing them or whatever you're calling them. It is a complex issue that I don't think... the average golfer, when they're like, oh, places are closing, understands. Abandoned Dunes closed this week for 10 days. I think it's the first time they had ever closed their doors since the original course opened. And now they've had to extend that to the end of April, which, originally wasn't part of the plan. And I think that shows the ongoing nature of this and how the plans are changing every day for everybody.
Right.
And so... it's one of those things that is going to be complex, and it's going to be complex for a while. I regardless of where you come down on this politically, I just don't think it's going to be an easy solution as to when the courses that are closed open back up and whether or not the courses that are still moving along and taking golfers will eventually have to close, whether that be from pressure from the outside, from non-golf people who are criticizing them. But for in our part, like you said, and we believe this at Rams Hill, people wanted to play golf. We had one of our biggest days of the month, the day before we actually made the decision to close the golf course. People want to be on the golf course because they don't, they don't just want to be cooped up at home. And so they want to find the safest outlet they possibly can. And obviously you and I are in agreement that the golf course can be that, if that's what you're looking for.
Yeah. And I think, again, as I said, if the decision comes down from above, that's fine with me. I think you either make that decision or you let people hopefully do it in a way that's responsible. That's the only thing that matters.
The issue is people who don't think it through, or the people who are just outright dumb. about it. You know, your guys all getting on a Spirit Airlines. You know, one of the arguments I made, and I've not just to Rams Hill, but I've mentioned this to other places, other owners. Obviously, you and I know a lot of golf course owners. We have a lot of friends in the industry, and I'm talking to all these people, you know, over the last 2 to 4 weeks. But let's just say, you live somewhere and you want to go play. You and I are going to go play golf, let's say, Mitch. And we're going to hop in the car and drive somewhere for 2 hours and go play golf. Well, how often do you really know what your neighbor or your friend has done over the last 4 to 7 days? The nature of this disease and that you can transmit it without being symptomatic means that you really have to have a good handle on tracking who you've been around in the past. If four guys hop in a car together to go drive for 2 hours to go play golf, and they're not guys who live together, you know, they're friends or whatever. If one of them has it when they get in that car, probably all four of them have it by the time they get there.
Yes.
Anybody they come in contact with along the way, then they take it back, you know, and you have family considerations and older family considerations. Not that it's just older family at this point, you know, because there are people under 50, 50%, I think, in California of the people who have gotten it so far are under 50 years old. So, you know, you have to think through those things. Now, if you are thinking about those things and you're thinking about not only social distancing, but, you know, how you get to the golf course, how you get home, how you stay away from people, you know, those, then golf is a perfectly viable thing to go do. It's as viable as walking your dog through the neighborhood or going out to a public park or, you know, certainly going to the beach the way some of the beaches have been lately. So,
yeah,
you know, I just want people to think more about all of the ramifications before they do it. But I definitely want people to go play golf. I'm going to go try to play. You know, I have Rio Bravo here. I probably within the next couple of weeks will call up, and as long as I can pay them before I go and go straight to the tee when I get there, you know, I'll take Ragsy out and we'll go play some golf because,
you know,
that's, you know, why not? We need the exercise. Yeah. We need to be outdoors. Everybody can't stay inside all the time. And people like you, obviously, you and I are lucky. You know, we live in homes. We don't live in apartments, which would be far worse, I would think. You know, we have space around us to be able to get out. And so, you know, I want as many people who can just get out of their houses safely to do it because, you know, we could be in this for a while. I don't want to be the doomsday sayer, but I did put up a post, you know, about 17 days ago now that said, well, what happens at the end of March if we're at 50,000 cases, you know, will the Masters still happen? And it only took 5 days after that for the Masters to be canceled. Now we're over 100,000 cases and we're not even to the end of March yet. So, you know, we've got a ways to go on this. So I just want everybody to be smart. And I also want people to know why I feel this way. I don't want to coop everybody up. I don't want to bring the economy to a halt. But if you're interested about my personal feelings on it, I did put a post at Golf Getaways on Twitter talking about my life as an asthmatic and how many people have asthma in this country. I've had pneumonia as an asthmatic and it is not pretty. And so there are a lot of us who are immunosuppressed, have various conditions. You know, you have an underlying heart condition. I have asthma. I've fought diabetes for about 20 years. So there are a lot of us who this could really, really take a toll on if we contract the COVID-19. So, you know, I want people to be thinking about everything, not just the golf course.
Yeah. And just quickly, a friend of mine put something up about autoimmune disease, and there was a list of autoimmune diseases. And I said something about, I guarantee people that even if they don't know it, they know and are friendly with people that have autoimmune diseases.
Absolutely.
Because most of us don't talk about it. It's not something that you just come out with and start talking about your diabetes or your asthma. But it's a real issue. So, okay, let's assume that people are going to be smart about all this. And you mentioned the word grateful. You and I think always about the places we've gone, the places we've been, the places we've had the joy to go and travel to play golf, to meet up with each other, to laugh, to joke around, to hang for a few days. So I don't want this. I want this next thing to be about being grateful.
Yes.
Even though what we're going to mention are a couple of trips that won't be happening. And I'm going to put it this way. They won't be happening right now.
Exactly.
So let's just keep it in that spirit. Well,
we thought it would be fun to commiserate with people because there are a lot of people out there. I put this out on Twitter, you know, right as everything started and things had to, when the Masters got canceled, I put it out there. I said, hey, here are some of the things that I'm not doing because of the virus now. What's everybody else not doing? You know, we're all in the same boat and we should all be able to look at this as a greater good issue and say, you know what, we can put our golf travel on hold for a little while. And, you know, that began with the Masters. I had a pretty epic Masters trip set up. I was going to go to the Masters.
Yeah, it wasn't just the Masters.
Right. Joe Sass and I had our friend who's been on the podcast here, gone to Tobacco Road with us, runs a trip every year, and we'll talk about his trip in a minute. But he and I, through our friend John Patrick, who's also been on the podcast, you know, got tickets to the Masters. We were going to go for the two practice days. But we were also going to play Palmetto Golf Club, which John, you know, talks about. You have played, and John talks about as being a course that he loves even more than Augusta National.
Uh-huh.
We were going to stay actually over in Savannah and Hilton Head area. And so we were going to go to Kiawah Island for 2 days and play. We were going to go out to take the ferry out to Dufusky Island and play 27 holes for a day. That was one of the trips that we had to unravel. We were also going to Bandon, you and me, and our good friend Brian Orr, golf photographer extraordinaire.
Definitely drink.
And Ryan Ballingy, who was a newcomer to Bandon.
Yeah, well, as I told you in a text today, I've canceled it because my wife and my daughter said, it doesn't matter because if I think I'm going, they're going to kill me anyway.
That's right. So, which makes perfect sense. You and Ryan would both have to get on a plane.
Right.
And that's the problem. It's not so much that we couldn't do things at Bandon.
Yeah.
Although the one thing that got brought up to me about Bandon and somebody like Ryan going for the first time was they've already had to close the bunker bar, you know, and some of the restaurants, even before they closed the golf courses and closed the resort as a whole.
So why do it if it's less than Bandon?
Exactly.
Yeah,
there's so many great things about Bandon that you're better off to postpone it if you can. And we were kind of waiting it out. But now with the new decision that Bandon made that I mentioned earlier, that they've closed until the 30th of April, it turns out that even if we had decided we wanted to give it a go, there's just no way we could have done it. The course isn't going to be available to us anyway. So, you know, it's better that we plan this out and try to find a better time. We have other friends who have done that. Joe Colangelo was taking a trip out there. He's another friend of ours. And around the same time as us, he's already rescheduled his for the summer. Gamble Sands is the same way. Brian and I and our friend Ryan Hyman from iGolf Reviews have a trip in late May to Gamble Sands, Wine Valley, and then over to Chambers. We were going to do a lot of that for Brian's Golf Illuminated project. And, you know, I don't know. I know I've canceled my train trip. I was going to take an Amtrak overnight train up to Portland from Bakersfield. I'm definitely not going to do that. And if we still did it, we would have to dramatically modify kind of how we traveled together. And, but again, that's another thing where a guy's coming from Tucson. Another guy is coming from Utah. I'm coming from Bakersfield. We don't all know, you know, what the tracking is like of our own lives, and we're all going to hop in a car together and drive together. So this thing has to be further progressed in terms of a vaccine or a cure or a treatment before I'm entirely sure I want to risk that type of thing.
Yeah, no, and that makes total sense. And my phone was ringing in the background. I think that's Bandon telling me to come back later. It'll be fine. We'll come back.
I want to know your situation because you have a huge trip planned for the summertime.
Yeah.
You know, what are your thoughts on going to Scotland?
I have
now?
No thoughts. No, I'm not kidding. We haven't even thought about that. You know, it's in July. It's the middle of July. We're supposed to leave on July 12th. My wife got me that trip as a surprise 70th birthday present, if you and I can believe that, which I can't. I don't know if you can, but I can't. And it's kind of a bucket list Scottish trip for me. Been there, as you know, and hopefully listeners know, a number of times. Have played most of the great courses. Not most. I'll say a lot of the great courses that I've wanted to play. Right. But when Ava and I had talked about it before, I said, you know, there's really only, although there are tons of courses I want to play there, there's only a few that really are what I would call bucket listers that I have not yet, for some reason, been able to play. And they're all in East Lothian.
Yep.
So we set up the trip. It's for 10 days and it's, you know, staying a couple days in St. Andrews and then going to North Berwick, playing North Berwick, playing Gullen, playing Dunbar, playing Musselburgh, you know, those courses, which to me, like I said, even though there's tons of other ones I want to play, Ely for one, I've played before. So at this point in my life, I'm not sure how many more trips to Scotland I have. But the thing is, we're not doing anything. I'm not canceling anything. I'm not thinking about it. It's 4 months away.
Yep.
And, you know, it's not like Bandon. Bandon for you and I is, what, 3 weeks from now. And again, you and I have been there. I've been there three times. So I, you know, to me, as much as I was looking forward to it, to seeing you and Brian, and more than anything, to seeing Ryan's reaction to it as a first-timer. Exactly. He'll get back there, and we'll get back there. I don't have any doubt about that.
Yeah, there's no reason to risk it at this point. I think that's the key. There's no reason to put yourself out on a limb.
Right.
Bandon is still going to be there. And, I totally understand what you're saying on Scotland. You know, you and I have been talking about going to Sand Valley in August.
Right.
I'm probably still going to keep pursuing setting that up and, get out there. One trip that I did have in the summer was I was going to go to Nebraska and play. I was going to go to Prairie Club and then do Bayside and maybe go see the new project that our friends at Sweetens Cove
Rob Collins
is working on. I had a whole thing planned, but it was around, I was going to the Olympic swim trials because we have a family friend who is trying to qualify for the Olympics. Well, now that the Olympics have been canceled, that will be pushed back and won't be at the same time. So that Nebraska trip essentially goes away because of the key reason why I was going, won't be there anymore.
Right.
So it's amazing how these different things affect people. I was talking with a guy who he and his, I don't know if it's his wife or his girlfriend off the top of my head, but they are travel writers and that not golf, not in the golf business, but I ran into them while I was on a trip to Tahoe last year. And he and I were chatting on Instagram last night about different things that have been waylaid. And I mean, they had a big trip planned to go to Italy for the first time.
Oh boy!
You know, and in the next couple of months. And so that didn't happen. Our friend, Josh Strukoff, who runs Golf is Mental, and if you don't follow at Golf is Mental, you should. He and his wife, Beth, just had twins, and they came down to see family in Palm Springs, and they live in Canada. And so they came down like 2 days before everything got really crazy. And we're down here in Palm Springs, and we're going to be here until, I think, the 23rd or something like that. And had to cut that trip way short because they didn't know if they would get back across the border to get back home, back into Canada when we really started tightening up the borders and everything. So, so many people have been affected by this, and I don't say that as a bad thing. Like you and I keep pointing out, it's, you know, we're just definitely trying to keep it all in perspective of what it is and realize that, like I said, these places will be there. Keep doing your best to support them during all of this. And we will get back and, you know, we'll travel even more with a vengeance when this is all over and get back to some of the great places and keep playing golf.
You bet. All right, let's move on. And then we're going to close up. You can tell Darren and I have both been cooped up for a while because we could just talk. But let's kind of, as we get to wind down, let's just talk briefly about what we're doing to kind of conquer this life at home. All of us are in this boat now, pretty much, which is, how do we deal? And so I'll start off. I'm going to just give you a couple of quick things, and then hopefully you're doing stuff other than just lying around, which you could be doing.
It's very possible. I spend a lot of time sleeping anyway.
Okay, so if that's the case, then most of this segment will be me. the first thing is, and obviously I'm walking a lot with my dog, Louie, and my wife sometimes, but I seem to be the one that goes out at least twice a day for long walks with the dog. And this has been a great boon. I did it before this all happened, but it's kind of with a new perspective now, and that's what I think is cool. It's made me really hone in and focus on spending that time. And not just for Louie, my dog, who loves it. We go on a dirt road near us for about half a mile each way, but for me. And I realize how much I need it and how much I love it with him. So doing that kind of stuff, if you're lucky enough as you are to have a dog, get out and walk with him. Home projects. We've done
it. I was going to say, we took Ragsy out for a walk yesterday. Obviously, my wife, we moved my wife in. If you heard anything in the background today, it's because we moved my wife's office into our house here, and we don't have a particularly big house. And she's been working almost nonstop. She helps run a university. So she's been working nonstop ever since we did that last Thursday night. And so yesterday afternoon, we were like, let's get outside. And we went out for a walk. And what I found interesting, I live downtown in Bakersfield in a fairly old school neighborhood, but a nice neighborhood. And I walk Ragsy a lot. I talk about that on the show. Obviously, I go play golf with him. But I rarely see people when I'm walking, you know, during the neighborhood for the most part. And what we noticed yesterday was everybody is like us. Everybody wants to get out of the house. Everybody wants an excuse to walk their dog now. And, you know, we encountered people, you know, social distancing, obviously. But we encountered just lots of people from the neighborhood that we rarely ever get to see. Just because, you know, everybody's in this same boat and everybody's trying to get outside and get some fresh air and not be cooped up in the house. And, you know, it's kind of developed the community a little bit better, I think.
Yeah, and that's my walks with Louie are not that, because it's literally almost a deserted. It's a road that you can drive on, but it's just dirt and there's nobody there. But I totally get what you're saying.
And you live in the country.
And I live in the country, man. I do. I do. And it's more the country right now than it's ever been. Okay, so other than projects at home, which we're getting a lot done and is great, and I'm sure everybody is doing something. But here's a couple of people that I wanted to shout out to, because I think one of the things that we can do, assuming that you're not going to be playing tons of golf, is to work on our games.
Yep.
And we always have excuses, reasons why we can't. Well, those excuses are pretty much gone as far as making a concerted effort to change something that, now you may not want to. People listening to this may go, I'm fine with my game. I go out and I play. I have a couple of beers. I don't care. I don't care what I shoot. That's all fine. And more power to you. And I pretty much feel that way, except there's one thing that I really want to try to work on. And I don't have to go into it here. But in order to do it, I need to radically alter my swing, which I've been loath to do because it really takes some work. But what I decided was I'm going to really try at, because you can do it at home first. You can work on swing changes. So I'm going to shoot out a couple of people that I think people should follow and are really good at helping you change those things. There's a lot of great teachers out there, Dee, and we know this, but here's two. Close to home, the first one is my friend Allie Dyer. He's at Barefoot Resort here in Myrtle Beach, a great facility that people may or might, if they come to Myrtle Beach, they know Barefoot, but a fantastic resort facility. But Allie is over there at the driving range, taught Kevin Streelman, works with pretty much all of the top amateur junior golfers in South Carolina now, and they come to him. He's a fantastic guy, Englishman. I could go on about how wonderful a guy he is, but he's a fantastic teacher. If you're at home, and this is the great thing about technology, and you want to, because he is, I'm just recommending him because I've been around him, I've worked with him, I see what he can do. You can go ahead, take a couple of videos, even in your backyard, hit a wiffle ball, and take a couple of down-the-line shots and a couple of face-on shots, and you can send them to Ali, and he'll give you some help. I'm just putting it out there. If you go to Dyer Golf Academy on Instagram or dyergolfacademy.com, D-Y-E-R.com, he'll send you some thoughts. I'll send you some drills. So that's Ali Dyer.
Nice.
The other guy that I really want to really give some props to, because he is a much more visible kind of guy. Ali tends to be kind of quiet and behind the scenes and do most of his work here in Myrtle Beach at Barefoot. Jeff Ritter, who I've known for a number of years, is somebody that people who watch the Golf Channel, people who are really online, probably know. He has something called Make the Turn Golf, or MTT Golf. He's up in Bend, Oregon at Pronghorn. Darren, you know Pronghorn. And he's an absolutely unbelievable guy, incredibly creative, teaches in a very different way. And I can say that I sent him a couple of swings, and he sent me some drills and explained some stuff to me. And this is all online. He's 2,500 miles away from me, that were absolutely fantastic. So I highly suggest this is another way to get to it. He will send you some stuff. He'll talk you through it. He'll show you why, send you some fantastic drills to do at home. You can find him on Instagram at MTTGolf, the letter MTTGolf, or at coachnow.io. That might sound strange, but that's one way to get to him, which I highly recommend, coachnow.io. So, Darren, that's a couple of ways we can work on our game.
Let me tell you this. Obviously, you know, I'm a guy who does not like to work on my game.
Correct.
I will go play. But you have another suggestion here that is something that interests me. And I've been thinking about this a lot, of just, this should be a time, and probably more important than ever, to get in better golf shape. You know, and I think working out some way while we're at home, exercising, if you can't get out, is so crucial right now, especially because so many of us have, you know, stocked our refrigerators and are hunkering down for the virus. And, you know, you may be eating more in your house than you normally would. You may be in a different kind of, setup than what you normally do for what you eat. You may not be able to get as good a food, fresh food, because you're not going to the stores often. So I'm interested in getting in better golf shape, and you've got a suggestion for that, right?
Yeah, and this is interesting because this guy that I'm going to talk about, his name is Chris Garavito, and he and Ali Dyer, who I've just mentioned, work in tandem, which I had not really heard of before. And one day I was over at Barefoot, and I was just fooling around doing some stuff with Ali. He was helping me, and he started talking about Chris Garavito, who's a physical therapy guy that he was working with. And I don't just mean saying, hey, this guy's good, go see him. He is literally working with Chris as an integral part of working on golf. So I was talking to him about it. And when, this is interesting too, Jeff Ritter sent me a couple of drills. And the first one, well, one of the ones he sent me involves changing the way that my backswing is, changing my backswing. And when I was standing in my office, my home office, doing what he was telling me to do, for the first time, I realized I can't do that. Now, you're laughing, but what it made me realize was, until I deal with, I'm 70 years old, Darren. I'm really flexible for a 70-year-old, but there's certain things I can't do. But unless I really work on these exercises to be able to make that kind of turn that Jeff wants me to do, it doesn't matter. I could try it all I want. And Ali said to me one day, I can teach you what you need to do, but if your body won't let you do it, what good is it?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's why he's working with Chris, which I thought was fantastic.
That's always been one of my issues, is that, you know, I'll go into somebody who's, you know, a golf trainer of some kind, for my swing, and he'll say, well, let's test your flexibility. And, you know, I have the flexibility of a 100-year-old man. And then they're like, okay, well, we're going to need to work around that then, because
right.
you know, your body just will not go into the positions that we need it to go to, which is why I can't hit it very far anyway, even with regular clubs.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is good. Chris Garavito is the guy's name. He's in Myrtle Beach. And the thing is, you know, if you want to work with him, you've got to be somewhere in the Myrtle Beach area or near. But what you can do is he has an Instagram page. And if you go to, it's called PAR Physical Therapy. And the PAR stands for Performance and Rehabilitation. And it's a great website, too, parphysicaltherapy.com. You can get an idea of who Chris is. But for some actual exercises, just general stuff, to get you moving in this direction, you can go to the Instagram page, PAR Physical Therapy on Instagram. And he's got a bunch of great stuff up there. And they're not long, they're not detailed, but they're very golf-specific. And they're going to help you. So at the end of this time, whatever this time is, if it's 2 weeks or a month or 2 months or 3 months, you can make a commitment, which I have, and I'm starting. I started this past week, where I'm going to be in better shape at the end of this than I was before it. That's just my commitment. And yep. So, Darren, watch out. That's all I'm saying.
I like it. That's all good stuff. We've talked for an hour. We could talk about coronavirus, COVID virus related stuff probably for hours and hours. And who knows, we might end up doing that. We do want to tell people that we're going to try to be a little more frequent. We're actually in talks of trying to come up with maybe a better way to produce the podcast. We're not looking to leave Golf Newsnet or anything like that, but we're kind of mulling some options that might make this a little bit better and maybe even get us out there every week, back on a schedule. But in the meantime, while we're doing these while we're cooped up at home, we're going to try to keep you posted on the future plans and kind of go over maybe some of the trips that maybe we've overlooked a little bit over the past 2 years, because you and I have done a lot of golf traveling. We've talked to a lot of people. We've had great people on the show, and we want to take this opportunity to try to get as much information out there as we can, so that when life returns to normal and everybody can hit the open road or in the open skies, even once again, we're able to do it.
Yeah. And I think that's what's important, because, just to wrap this up, we're all learning, I think, and I hope again, really what's important in our lives. So for all of us, golf is certainly an integral part, and we're going to get back to it, I promise. And, you know, we've done almost 150 podcasts now, and with every one, we always end it with Tom Petty's great Running Down the Dream. It always seems to have some meaning based on what we've been talking about. This is a whole new ball game. Running Down a Dream now for all of us means something completely different. We hope you out there will be running it down, and right along with us, keep dreaming that dream. We know we've gone on for a while. It's been a little bit of isolation. Darren and I, glad to talk to each other, and really glad you're listening. Yeah, it's a little longer than we normally do, but you know what? What else the do you have to listen to? Glad you've been with us. See you soon.